At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Off the Ball Daily.
This interview with you and I can go any way you want it to go. You can ask me any question you want. Nobody from my PR team is ever going to call somebody from the media and say, don't ask Dana this.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. OTB GAA. The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out #TheToughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. We had to gather on this Monday after such an important weekend in football. Paddy, I'm going to come back to you in a moment and ask you how you got on this weekend. But James, I'd like to get your take early doors. How are you? And what you made of the weekend that we just saw. The storm actually impacted your weekend?
It didn't. No, not one bit. I didn't see much of it. I enjoyed the football, but there was a lot to digest. I'm in favour of changes. This weekend, it seemed like there was a lot going on at times, which was tricky. I thought the ref was involved a lot, especially on the first night. And I suppose that's because it was the very first run-out. You also have to say that, like Farker said in his interview, the players had no time to get their head around this new system or new rules or train for it. So the fact that they had no time to train for it, it's mixed teams in terms of the counties. How can you get a real feel for these rules when it's not do or die? Because I always say, GAA is nothing unless it's all on the line. And you're defending for your life, you're attacking for your life. So that wasn't on show. So it was hard to get a full grasp of what was going on.
We knew this going in, James.
There's a couple of things I'm definitely all for. And there's some things that I would like that didn't go through. But I think that the general feeling around the place is, lads, we have one chance to get these in now, or we have 5 years. That's the bit of the issue. So I wonder, will they just try and take forward the successes, or are they going to go with everything?
Okay. Well, before I come to Paddy, the Football Review Committee are meeting tonight, and they're going to iron out maybe a couple of little kinks that they would have learned over the weekend, as they've been doing throughout, and they've been very transparent about this. They're not proposing that this is going to fix everything, but they are proposing that this is what we should take a chance on and trial throughout 2025. So, James, before I ask you what you liked, did you see a marked improvement between Friday night and Saturday night in terms of the players are a bit more used to it? They probably had a couple of pints together the night beforehand, a bit of a chat. Maybe the teams were a little bit better matched, so they're a bit more competitive. Did you see an improvement in terms of how they played the game, the rules, the flow, the systems?
I did. Definitely the second day was better. Second evening was better, definitely, because I got a bit of a grasp of it. As you said, you're playing with a completely new team. I'd say some of them don't even know each other's names.
Definitely Leinster. I think that probably
Leinster was a ropey performance, first night.
In fairness, Tory Joyce nearly ruined the whole thing. He picked a team full of Division 1 players against a Leinster side that, in fairness to Desi Dolan, he was sharing the love, you know? He was sharing the love of it. So, James, go on.
Yeah. No, we'll say it for what we like, but the things that I would change straight away is I don't like the 4 points for a goal personally, because I think it devalues a one-pointer completely. There's going to be nobody kicking a point, but they'll nearly solo it back out past the arc to go for a two-pointer.
To
go for a goal. A one-pointer, it's just going to be, it's worth nothing. A 1 point is not going to be worth enough to be going for them for the whole game. So that's kind of the first thing that I would change personally.
Would you go back? Would you get rid of the 2-point arc then and just have normal scoring?
No, I definitely, the 2 point arc, I really like. I think that it promotes kicking, it changes defensive attitudes. They
Yeah,
have to push
I
out.
like it.
They can't be just minding the scoring zone. They have to push out and spread. It's
Yeah, so you have
that's
three,
game,
two,
that's
one.
revolutionary. I would have 3-2-1, yes. I would have 3-2-1.
And
I
what does
think
that
three
then?
three still a lot. Four, Paddy, is reckless.
Yeah.
Like, four
It's
is
a big
so
swing.
much.
It's a big swing. It
It's a
is.
massive swing.
But would you not find, like, Paddy, I put this to you, right? So I was speaking to Jim Gavin Friday night, and after the games, I actually have it in my bag here. I'll dig it out. I'd drawn out a shooting map, right, of where the shots were taken from Connacht. And I showed it to him, and I said, "What would you have said to your Dublin team if they were taking shots from here?" And I'll get it for you now in a second. And he laughed, and he's like, "There was no value in taking shots from out there before. So we programmed them to take shots from, inside a certain percentage zone. But now that percentage zone is going to change all of a sudden."
Yeah,
And that's what we saw. Like,
but that's what they're trying to
did
do.
you see Aidan
But
O'Shea's buzzer beater from the left touchline? I don't know, it's an exhibition game, but that was a moment that. Imagine we saw that in an All-Ireland final, a buzzer beater from 2 points to win it. And we kind of saw it in the final, James, in the last minute, the goal, the 2-pointer to get it back. It was class. Paddy,
No, it was, but you're like the thing about the attack is. You're going to bring so many players into the attack because fellas are going to have to stay outside the arc. They're going to be patient in attack and swing it over from nice areas. Whereas before, everyone knew how the attack was going to go. You're going to work it into the top of the D and try and chip a handy point. Those scores are going to be gone because they take too long and they're worth nothing. A 1 point is going to be dead. The other thing that is going to be an issue, and they'll probably tidy it up this evening, is the punishments. The punishments are very harsh. Like
yeah.
if you bring you don't have enough players back, they bring the ball all the way in for a tap over free for a score. I mean, that's a big punishment. So is the 50 meters all the way up the field. I think that might start actually, as you said, kind of sorting itself because fellas just won't give out about anything, so that won't come into it. But to give a point away, again, it's like it devalues the point.
But James, like, we have to look at ourselves here and ask ourselves the question. Is this something that we want to clean up in the game? Do we want to change the culture? And we all do it. We've all done it. Like,
Definitely the descent. Definitely the descent.
I've got better about it. I wasn't great when I was younger, but like the yapping, the dissent, the questioning, it's a scourge across the country, and refereeing is not appealing for it. Like, if this worked, it would make everyone's talking about how complicated it's going to be for referees. If this worked, it would be revolutionary in terms of the manner in which the game is played.
Yeah, no, I definitely 100% agree with the dissent one. It
Which do
is
you
a
not
harsh
agree with?
punishment.
What do you
It
not
is a
agree
harsh
with?
punishment. No, I'm saying that it's a very harsh
For
punishment
breaching
to
the
go
minimum
all the
rules,
way up
like,
50,
yeah.
50 meters.
But if you don't bring it up 50, there's no point to it. You can just foul on the full forward line and then you get away with that, like.
The tap over free one is the main one that's a bit much for me because, again, it devalues the 1 pointer. You're basically just handing someone the ball to tap over the bar.
I'll tell you what I think, okay? And I'm not sure what the answer is around the 4-point goal, but I'll tell you what it does devalue. It devalues the fisted point. And I would have thought you would have been all over this because Enda Smith was saying it, Colm Collins, James Horan were saying it afterwards. Players are going to have to now think to themselves, why did I just fist that ball over the bar? I could
If
have,
you're that close, you try
but I
and pull the
could,
trigger.
exactly. If I take
Yeah.
four shots and I score one of them, I got 4 points. I fist the ball over the bar. Do you know what I mean? Like, why would you take that option? So it's going to change the mentality of the way we're thinking. And I get what you're saying about lads running out of the arc and then taking a shot. I'm not sure that will happen because I do think a point is still going to be valuable in championship football, right? The question I'd have, and I don't know the answer to it, is if it's a 1-2-3 system, is the goal ever going to be worth it? The
It
two
is
points,
versus a
there's not
one.
weight. Does not put so much more weight on the 2-pointer. Like, is Ranatan better, James and Paddy, than scoring a goal in Gaelic football?
No, it is the greatest feeling. There's no doubt about that.
Come
And
on,
I am
James,
all for goals. But
tell
the
us.
argument is, and again, I'm positive towards these rule changes, but I suppose we're just trashing everything out here. The thing is, with the new rules, it's going to be easier to score a goal because there's not as many bodies back. Okay, so it's going to be easier to score a goal and it's worth more. Do you know what I mean? Which is like a double whammy for the defence.
The rules definitely are in favour of more attacking football. It favours forwards. You know, if you're an inside forward in the game, you are hanging your hat on these rules coming in. What was the remit here? All seven rules, when they're explained, they totally make sense. Go, yeah, I can see what they're trying to do with that. The reality is, over the last 10, 15 years maybe, Gaelic football has just been getting steadier and steadier into decline in terms of entertainment. It's lads, how many games have we been on in the last couple of years? That is a terrible game of football. Terrible. So these rules, I would say there's definitely a will that Gaelic football needs to be fixed. It has to be tweaked. It cannot keep going down the same road it's going down. Every one of these rules or enhancements, as they're called, makes sense. But they absolutely favour the attacking team. But that's what they want. They want more scores. Look at the scoreline on Saturday night in the final. I'm sure we watched I watched the Dublin Club final yesterday. Jesus Christ, it was for 50 minutes a hard watch. And it's like, if you have a choice, there was a brilliant finish. It was the same as we say this all the
conditions,
time.
The conditions too, yeah.
I get that, Dave, but we're talking about for the last 10 years, we're seeing so many games like this. Risk aversion, mind the ball, Jimmy's favourites. These rules were brought in to get away from that. They are meant to be drastic. They're meant to change behaviours.
Yes. And
because it's gotten so stark, I think there's a universal acceptance that things need to change now. And the GAA trying to get things through Congress or rules changes. The GAA is an unbelievably traditional organisation. It takes so long normally to get any sort of proactive, positive, modern change. But I think these have a chance. The drawback, I'd say, and agree with you, James, we spoke at the top of the show, that's all we're going to see them in the public. Is that really four exhibition games with teams that have really thrown their arse at, they're pulled together a week beforehand, players don't even know each other? Is that a true reflection of the levels that these changes can make? Colin Collins, I see that you were talking to, was it you, Tom, or you was talking to someone on Off the Ball? Wait till teams really go after these.
Wait till coaches get their paws.
All the coaches, all the players, and they know exactly what they're at. I thought Friday and Saturday night gave us a flavour of it. I think some of them are big. I think we said this a couple of weeks ago. 3-on-3 inside, that's a massive, that is a fundamental change. And you could see, particularly on the Friday night, players just weren't used to doing this. They've had years and years of playing a certain way and getting their first goal in Croke Park. They weren't used to dealing with it. It's a massive change. That one, more so, there's some that are kind of the catch and go. I don't think that's going to make a massive change. The game go for sort of a solo and go from a free. The throw up one on one. Okay, again, I can see why that's come in, but it's not a massive change in the game. The 3-on-3 and the scoring system, they are fundamentally different to anything we've seen. Yeah. Will they all get in a month's time?
But
what do you think?
Well, and I've asked this question quite a bit, and I think before we went into the weekend, I was excited about the scoring arc, right? During the weekend, to me, the 3-3 structure, I had an unbelievable view. I was in Croke Park.
Yeah.
How good it looks 7. Up there in Tier 7. Yeah. I had the perfect view, and you could see the potential here. And all this gave us was a glimpse of what football could look like. I was at an intermediate final in Navan.
Oh, come here, Tommy. That's what football was.
Yeah.
10 years ago.
No. Was it? Was it? Yeah.
Maybe 20 years ago. 20 years ago.
10 or 12. There was no. There was
2014, James. 2014.
Yeah, you definitely leave three. Do you know what I mean? You would, leave three up.
But the problem
is, this is only a newish problem.
Galway Donegal in the semi final this year. There was gasps in the press box because Galway were actually leaving the forward of the pitch.
Three, yeah.
No one could believe it. The whole place was like, "Hey, is this for real? They're keeping their forwards up." And of course they're fucking keeping them up. Shane Watts, Damien Comer, Rob, why would you not? Mm. But that's how mindsets have been changed in the game. What do I, we're forwards on this. There's a a caveat here, that if these changes come in, they absolutely favour forwards. We'll see far more scorers. That's what the rules committee, that's what they want. That's what they're promoting. Is that necessarily better than brilliant defensive systems and all that type of stuff? I would say, yeah, I would prefer to see more of that than what we have over the last number of years. But I'm absolutely certain there's people around the country who'd say, I don't want this to be a basketball shootout. Mm-hmm. I value...
I fully agree.
Our defensive coaches, our defenders. Listen to Aidan Forker. If you're in the full back line, you are sitting there going, do not fucking vote for those changes, lads. We are under pressure. So it's...
I don't like that. I don't know, because the man-to-man defending is an art form that mm-hmm. is dead.
Yeah, but loads of defenders currently, over the last 10 years have been stealing a living because they don't have to man mark.
Couldn't agree more. Stealing a living is right. Whereas no, it's like first
they're
going
to be like, do not vote that in.
Did Higgins have a sweeper in 14 in front of him when he was marking you?
When Jimmy scored 2-10.
He did the first day, but not in the replay, right? Not in that iconic replay when you both went toe to toe. Yeah, Paddy, I think your point is right, right? Okay. It is rewarding attack and play, but it's also, I think, rewarding risk taking. Like, that's the big one. It's actually
long kick passing, direct play, fast exactly. transitions. We all want to see that. I'm for the rules, and I'm surprised that they've been as well received. I thought there'd be a few contrarians coming out. Now, they're not.
There's a lot of people giving out. My mentions haven't stopped on Twitter in the last week. You know, there's a lot of people who just like giving out as well, you know.
Yeah.
But they do have to be debated. They have to be trashed out. They have to be debated because it's important. It's really important. It's our game.
Of course. It's changing the sport.
It's our game. But it'd be interesting to see how teams do coach it, because we say long kicking definitely will suit some teams, the Donegals, the Kerrys, the Dublins, for long kick passing. Other teams will want to run it. And, you know, there'll be more space for that. Like, there's different avenues you can go down with this. So it is very exciting from a attacking point of view. I think it depends if, are you pro-change or are you conservative? I'm definitely in the change camp. Like, let's do something to make this game better, 100%. But I wouldn't jump to the four-pointer, because I think that is more critical than people realize. The goal goes in on you. It could be fucking game over. Do you know what I mean?
And what if
like
it
four
was,
points is so many points.
It is.
Like three.
Right? But
three.
It is. But think of it this way, right? Okay. 4 points is so many points, okay? But you can't just protect the goals now, because there's a two-pointer out in the arc.
Yeah. Jim Gavin was on Sunday explaining this, and he's kind of... The scores are complementary of each other. The 2 point is brought in, the drag people out, which creates space for the 4-pointer inside. I think they're all coming as a package. Mm. If the scoring changes come in, they're all going in. It's not going to be 1-2-3.
Yeah. It's interesting what James is saying, though, and I wonder, you know the way, Paddy, they're talking about having a review process halfway through the year? Could it be a case that they just say after, like,
the National League, and then say, no, we're going back.
Let's go to three. Or maybe you start with three and you go to four then. Like, but I just don't think we can try this without seeing it in 2025. I don't think we'll know. Yeah. I don't think we'll know.
The sample size from the weekend is way too small. You can't make it solely, and that's what Congress are going to be voting on for fucking exhibition games. It's not enough of a sample size. Look, I think we have spoken at length, not just us, any commentary on the GAA, any supporters, any ex-players, coaches, the game is going to the fucking dogs, lads. People will stop watching it. And it has been getting worse and worse and worse. The reality is that conservative, safety-first approach is what is bringing success to teams. That's why they're doing it.
It's rewarding.
And I know we're kind of commentating on at the highest level. This is happening at club games all over. This is happening at underage club games all over the country, because it works. Something drastic has to happen. That's why these have a massive chance of getting through. Mm. And four games in October in an exhibition tournament is not enough sample size. We spoke of probably, I was all for getting rid of the preseason competitions. I like that they're gone, but of all the years, it would have been useful just to get more exposure for these rules in January, and get all the teams playing it. Like, if I'm thinking off the top of my head, these changes, they probably don't suit down the way they play running the ball. Donegal this year, I know they have kickers, but they played a very set running style. I think it will suit.
They could still do that though and just kick the two pointers more often. Do you know, it'll still
long range shooters, I agree, but there's definitely some teams where it's going to suit more. Some teams are, it's going to be a very, very big shift in how they approach their attack. Coaches will have to try and figure out, how do we stop? I know it's 3-on-3 inside, but where do we position guys so they can get back straight away? I'd like to see them come in.
I would, yeah. I'm in that camp as well.
I think we're at the end of our tether with what we've seen. Unless there's drastic changes, it's just going to carry on the same. People will stop watching these games.
Mm. What an opportunity it is for someone to win the All-Ireland, because whoever adapts
the Harlem Globetrotters are going to win the All-Ireland next year.
No, but whoever adapts the most or comes up with the biggest change or the most surprising way of attacking or just figures out the rules the quickest and adapts the best will win it.
Can I ask you a question, and whoever wants to hop in first do, and it's a short enough answer. I've kind of heard through the grapevine that there's a player or two and probably more around the country that are waiting to make a decision on whether they'll go back playing inter-county football next year to see what rules get through. You know, an element of it is they may be deciding to go travelling, or maybe the bodies are getting that little bit older. If you were in that headspace at the minute and there was the potential of a new game to be played next year, would the excitement, the energy, and the user, would that change your mind? Would you be excited to play under these rules?
Definitely. I'd be buzzing.
I would be
lifting.
Just a novelty ever.
Yeah, it's so different to everyone has a different opinion. A player, to a manager, to a spectator, everyone has a different angle, a different point of view. But like, from a player's point of view, what a chance. What a chance to be kicking some amazing scores. New rules, new emphasis,
space,
more safety, the space.
There will be space.
Yeah. It's going to be a game for probably good athletes as well. You know, maybe there won't be fellas playing as far into their 30s. It might be a mid-20s game with the amount of space out there.
Though. It's turning into a mid-20s game. But I will say one thing about that, and Paddy, I want to hear you then. Because Morris made the point of commentary that, you know, habits will change. Players will realise.
Of course.
We're going to need to save our high-speed running for a different point in the game. We need to kick this ball 40 yards and let it do the work for us. Paddy, would it excite you to be walking into a Dublin dressing room next year under these rules? Or would you be thinking of, we've done so well with what we've got over the last couple of years, let's just keep going?
No, I would say if you're in the way Dublin play and generally approach games, you will be excited about this. Like with Jimmy's point, it suits athletic players. It suits a team that tries to play on the front foot, and Dublin play that way. So, as a forward, like I say, any forward around the country has got to be looking at this going, finally, it gives you an opportunity. Look at the All-Ireland final. Herbert, Walsh, these superstar players for the counties were just completely snuffed out of the game. There was no space. There was no space. So, if I had my Dublin hat on, I would be very excited about this opera. I think it would suit a Dublin team, yeah.
Would it suit Paddy Andrews?
I wasn't that fast by the end of my career. But there were different stages of my career, I would have enjoyed it, yeah.
And would you have made the case to extend the 2-point arc into the end line? Because I know you love that little sweet spot on the right inside the 20.
Yeah, well, out there, that'd be nice now, yeah. Yeah, I would.
Okay.
I'd like that.
Do you know what, though? The 2-pointer, the arc, it's not that difficult to kick from the sides, I don't think.
It's all, if you got the skills, it's all right. Like, but
yeah, I think it's a manageable kick. I think there will be an awful lot of 2-pointers, an awful lot of them. I think fellas will.
Do you know what? I think there'll be an awful lot of fucking whites as well. I think there'll be lads pulling the trigger and you're like, that was for a 2-pointer.
And what's the favourite shot in the football pod? The shot dropping short from distance. There'll be a lot of that as well, lads.
There'll be millions of goals going in. That's the best way to score a goal.
This year, anyway. James, sorry I interrupted you there.
No, you didn't. No.
No, I think you're right. Like, the arc itself, like, but if you extend it beyond the 45, there's not going to be many lads at Green or Neil or Niall going to be driving it over from there. Dear McConnelly back in the day, like the distance becomes so much bigger when you go out to the side there, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, it's perfect. I must say, I'm definitely all for him. The two main rules, as Paddy said, are the two pointer and the 3-3. Definitely bring them in 100%. They will change the game, revolutionize it, freshen it up.
If they bring them in, Jimmy, they're bringing them all. They're the two big ones. So we're going to bring them in, you might as well bring the whole lot of them in.
There might be one or two that, like, we saw very few advanced marks at the weekend, right? And there was maybe one or two.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't, I think that only suits. I don't know about that.
It's very hard to get it as well. To catch it inside the 21 and kick outside the 45. There won't be many of them.
I think that's for the TikTok generation. They want to create these moments where these raspers of goals are being scored and rewarding that. So we'll see, does that one make it true?
The only thing that I don't want to see, and it happened the first night and it just made me go, was the referee was blowing his whistle a lot. Now, it could have been because he was mic'd up and you could hear the whistle.
That was for sure. There was a bit of show in that.
There was so much referee involvement.
That second game, or I think that was, the whistle was definitely very shrill.
It was the Connacht game. Yeah, okay. There was just a lot of referee interaction. Do you know, sometimes a game is so nice to watch when the referee isn't noticed. So you just don't want the referee to be absolutely up to his eyeballs in these new decisions and everything going on. Who'd be a ref? It's going to be a hard gig if they all come in from.
And would you like to keep the mic'd up ref? I think we could ride the faders a bit, but it was class.
Keep them in.
What was your perspective on that, Paddy? I know you were listening in keenly were you in a golf course somewhere?
Keep it in. You know, it's an interesting development. Not in the evening. I was golfing during the day. Now I'd keep it in.
I think it's cool. I think it's transform, I suppose, that cultural aspect of it as well. I think it'd be class. Anything else, James, then, before we move on? Anything else from the weekend itself? Like, I personally thought, like, and I put this up, like, I thought we got to see the likes of Leitrim's Barry McNulty, you know, thriving for Connacht. Scored a brilliant goal, a couple of great tackles. Looking at home amongst Division 1 players, Waterford had a class tweet up about their four players, and they had a great win this year earlier in the Munster Championship. But they put up a tweet about their four lads. You had Sean Walsh, you had Conor Curran, you had Dermot Ryan, and you had Cuivin Walsh, who did a brilliant interview on Off the Ball earlier this year. Like, those counties clearly value. You saw the Armagh boys together getting photos as well. There are counties, I think, and players that would love to see some version of the Railway Cup back. I know calendar-wise and all that, there's way more important things, but could there be something? Could there be a world? Why can't I convince you on this?
I just don't like it. It's for nothing. I would rather play the Killarney 7-a-side with the lads. Honestly,
I know you're speaking from the heart there,
because it's just what GAA is about. I think it's like play for something to win. Do you know what I mean? With your team, mixing teams, nobody really cares. Do you know what the best thing of that was? Playing Croke Park for the lads. That's the thrill of it. And obviously the new rules.
It was cool. Like, it was something different.
I don't think... Aidan Shea, do you remember, he did say on one of the road shows that if you did make it like a weekend of... But I mean, that's a long
way festival.
Off. A festival. That did sound appealing.
And that was like All-Ireland final weekend, wasn't it? You know?
I thought it was all right, lads. I think that's got a chance in the calendar.
Yeah, okay.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
I want to rattle through a couple of little stories here and jump in if you want, lads. People in Westmeath not happy that their final finished on penalties. Can we not have a third replay? Losing a final on penalties is rough. That's James Grennan. So Lohmann's got the job done against the Downs. That was a big one. The Leitrim final replay was unreal. Went all the way to penalties. So you're getting the opposite kind of response there from Cuivin and Leitrim. Crusher Law getting the job done in Cavan, played it in a huge storm. A goal scored from the halfway line from Ronan. And then Killer McHugh was in touch. Some counties postponed in finals, Longford and Armagh, and others went ahead despite the weather warning. Boys, if you were playing a county final and it was a big day, you know, your county hadn't, your club hadn't got over the line in a long time, and this is your moment, and next thing, there was an orange warning, right?
Yeah.
And it was 50-50, right? It went ahead in Dublin, but it did in Kerry. And it was moved on a week. And then a week later, maybe people had things planned, there was issues, and you had to figure out all the logistics there. Would you rather get the game done, or would you rather it called off at an hour's notice?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, as a player.
2 hours notice.
Yeah.
2 hours notice. There you go.
Aren't you? Like, generally, you'd want to play, but like conditions, like, I watched the Dublin final, I'll tell you, it was very difficult. Jesus Christ. Like, the gusts. It's a tough one. As a player, generally, you'd be like, if you get that close to throwing, you'd be like, let's play this thing. Mm. But then if you're beaten, like say you're beaten, you don't play well, conditions are so difficult, it's a bit of a downer. I don't know. Tough decisions for counties around. Plus the window's so small, we're straight into provincial championships. Do counties even have time to just postpone it? Are they going to bring on a clog of fixtures now for whoever wins it goes into the provincial systems? But I don't know.
Yeah.
I suppose, if you're a forward and there's that wind, you can't even kick the ball.
Again, from a selfish point of view as a forward, do you want to be playing in a gale where like you have to score from 15 yards out rather than wait for a better day? It also depends as your team, what kind of a team you have.
Yeah,
it's 50-50, but for pure selfish reasons, I'd have to double check maybe who we were playing.
Yeah.
But I can see the frustration of it being called off, but if you lose the day of a gale, it's, you know, is it really the best team winning then? But at the same time, maybe it shows other strengths, you know, your character and your desire comes to you.
But, lads, it's not new. How many times club season is played this time of year?
Of course.
There'll be way worse conditions over the next 8 weeks where games are played in monsoons. And like, what was it, the Dingle Castlehaven game? Was that the Munster club?
Yeah, that was reckless.
Was that the final on penalties?
Yeah,
it's insane. Like, no incredible way should that have went ahead.
Yeah.
But
Jamie Callahan with the hammer, I think, celebrating the penalties.
What we seen yesterday?
But
we're gonna. It happens every year, and we're gonna see worse over the next 7 or 8 weeks.
The Mead final was mad, right? So the wind was insane. So Wolltons had the wind in the second half. I think they were chasing their fourth ever title up against the Dunshaughlin team. Very young, won an intermediate 2 years ago. Matthew Costello, you know, brilliant young footballer from Mead, had a free in his own half back line. I'm not sure if you saw this.
Saw it, yeah.
And Oily Owl Fox Keane Ward nicks in and buries it, right? Goes up the other end of the field. So Wolltons are winning out a couple minutes to go. And a free drop short, and Costo gets a tone and puts it into the goals and ends up leading Dunshaughlin to victory. But he had a free with about 10 minutes to go, top of the D, not even top of the D, it was about 20 yards out, right? But the wind was coming at him. And the ball goes over the bar and ends up by the sideline. That's where the wind brought it to. But so it goes over the bar and it's waved over. Mick Fitzsimons' point, Paddy. I'm not talking about the one where he fits it over. But you know the other one where it goes over and next thing, Storm whips it in.
Literally out of the stadium.
Was that over the bar,
50-50.
I don't know.
Come here.
What about Mick Fitz scoring the most Mick Fitz point ever after? Hand passing the ball to himself over Mannion's head.
No, the 14
what just
stuff
happened there?
Would he be doing that in training?
I have seen him do that a few times before.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah, hand passing the ball to himself. There's innovation. Bring that in as a rule change.
That has to go as well, yeah. That can go.
The hand pass to yourself.
Yeah.
Well,
vintage Fitz, you can be fair to him.
Yeah, there's a very talented player in Clare who does that, and he does the draw fouls, but I think referees have kind of copped onto it a bit, that he does it when he's on a long run and two fellas are coming in and converging.
But he's running out of rows, yeah.
He's running out of rows, but he got away with it for a while, and I think they've copped onto it a bit.
But sure, it's legal. They can't. How do you mean cop onto it?
Yeah, it's legit.
Yeah, well, I don't know. They're just not, giving it to him anymore. I've just seen him not get it two or three times. Can I talk about Meath Hill for a minute?
The team.
This your original club, or?
Yes, the club. Okay. The club that I left, club that I deserted back in the day a couple of years ago for Cratlow.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
But they had a bit of success, so now you're claiming them back.
Yeah, so now I'm going back.
It's the first time I've ever heard you say that club's name. Like, you know, you've completely forgotten about them.
It's just Cratlow.
I found a club wearing the same colours, right? So that's what I did. Meath Hill, lads, this was unbelievable on Saturday. Like, it was 12 o'clock in the day for a game. Not sure what you think about that. but it definitely suited the celebrations afterwards. They had never won an intermediate title before, never played senior, had been in one intermediate final in their lives, won two juniors back in the day. We won one in 2017. They just got over the line the last day. It was absolutely unbelievable. So just wanted to give a little shout out to them. I'll have to send you on a couple of clips, James. You'll have appreciated some of the scores from Gary Breslin and Shane McCabe and even Damien Turley coming up from cornerback, burying one over the bar. So unbelievable stuff from the lads this weekend. A big story, Kerry, James, Anthony Maher came out of retirement.
For Dua.
Yeah. What happened there?
I didn't even know he was playing until I saw that he was tagged and playing, but what a player.
Mm.
What a player. An athlete as well.
And the one,
got into the coaching recently, but...
Yeah, he's coaching up Limerick. The one to carry junior final.
Yeah. But having a player like that at that level, his size, physique, ball winning, serious operator. One of the best teammates you could have as well. Such an intelligent player. Intelligent person,
yeah.
Always spoke sense, and then silky skills as well. What a combo! So, yeah, congrats to him.
Yeah, fair play to them. That's class. Loads of great stories over the weekend. I'm just going through a couple of Instagram stories there. The Meadhill lads are into day three. What was the best post win week you had? How long did it go on?
I think only the 2 days after you won the club, 2011, Sunday and Monday.
Yeah, the boys had a Saturday final, so that's the kind of...
Extra day is nice. Early All-Ireland wins when I was only a young buck and could do 5 or 6 days on the trot. I am a long way from that now, lads. Jesus Christ.
And would you stay in Dublin for it? Or would you...
Yeah. I went to New York after 5 in a row.
Oh, yes. Okay,
that was an aggressive week, but also one of the great weeks.
Yeah, you had the fake Sam Maguire with you as well, didn't you?
No, we know Sam Maguire in that one.
Okay. Sam Maguire got lost in the taxi.
I wasn't on that one.
You weren't on that
one. I'd be far more responsible than that.
I know you would. James, your best one. Next weekend's final, have a bank holiday Monday to look forward to afterwards. They've obviously got the midterm, so it's going to suit a lot of people.
That would be nice. I suppose obviously when we won it, we had a couple of very good after even Munster finals and things like that, you know, where you'd have a month or 5 weeks off, and it would be a good chance to do a bit of bonding. What about after the Legion won the O'Donoghue Cup in 2019?
We took
the cup to the schools.
Did you? The O'Donoghue Cup?
I'm telling you, it was the fucking greatest week of all time.
Inspiring the next generation.
Comical. It was brilliant though. Brilliant. Sure, winning a trophy with your club hits different. Hits so different.
I suppose
they're great. They bring you so much closer as a team as well, which is the important thing. Like, the more you win, the more you will win, I think, because you just get tighter.
Yeah, but it's like I've spoken about Meadhill a lot the last couple of days, but you know, growing up, it was a junior club, right? And you're in a small little pocket in the country. And just for all the young fellas and young girls in that club now, they're walking into a senior club. Like, it is transformative for clubs that haven't had that success before to be able to now build on that and grow with it. So that's class. So whenever the lads get off the beer on Thursday this week, they might start looking at a Leinster, back at Leinster as well. So enjoy it, boys. Loads of other finals this weekend. Couple of big ones to look forward to this weekend coming. There was a good few postponed. The Armagh final was postponed. We've got a very special episode. I've left it very late to plug it. A very special episode that we recorded last week. AIB brought us up to the Carrickdale Hotel. Well, Paddy brought James and I brought myself. But AIB are happy to put on a brilliant series this winter where we'll be speaking to some really interesting people. I'm going to just say it now. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to reveal it yet, but we've got Conor Turbitt and Aidan Forker with us telling us the story of winning Sam Maguire. And loads of other bits and pieces in there as well. Lads, it was class, wasn't it?
Good chat with the lads. Like I said, I played against Aidan Forker, I hadn't played against Turbitt, obviously, but...
The Forker market?
Oh, mate, possibly. We would have played them a couple of times, more National League. I don't think we played our man in the championship with him before in 2010. I think his debut was 2012, isn't it?
It was, yeah. Were you both playing in that infamous challenge game, no?
Probably, yeah. I
should have brought that up. I forgot to bring that up.
Omerta, say nothing.
I'd say Falkirk was stuck in there.
Right in the mix now, yeah. No, just cool to hear from the lads, and you could see they're buzzing after this, and what it meant for them, the people in Armagh, for only the second ever time. So it was really cool to chat to the lads. They've got a lovely couple of weeks and months ahead of them. Turbo has to try to put the club stuff first and foremost, but no, it was really cool to catch up with the two boys.
Yeah, that's an all learning
point. Turbot seems like a lovely fella, isn't he? Such an easygoing, relaxed.
A nice contrast between the two lads.
Yeah. It's such an easygoing, relaxed, confident, just top fella.
And when we're talking about these rules, if we're talking about these rules, I don't think Aidan was mad for him, but Conor Turbot was loving.
Hey, so, Borker swung its few 2-pointers the other night as well.
He does. He's a 2-point merchant now going forward, definitely. Yeah.
No, it's brilliant. The lads spent over an hour with us, and you get a really good insight into even the different personalities in that Armagh team, because, like, you know, Turbot's young, like Aidan's been through it, and I think he was christened Mini Geezer at one stage as well. So you're going to get to see what makes these Armagh boys tick, and it was really great spending time in our company. So thanks a million to the lads for joining us for that. Yeah, there's more finals this weekend. The Clare Senior Football Final is this weekend. We've got the Derry Senior Football Final. We have got the Kerry Final this weekend, right? We've got the Galway Final. The Longford game was postponed. That's on this weekend. Abbey Lara and Colm Kills. Fermanagh final is this weekend. The Mayo final has been postponed to this weekend. We've got the Monaghan final, Scotland against Kilkibbert. That'll be interesting. Padraig Pearce's went and won the Roscommon title again, the third time in their history. So best of luck to the boys there. I know they were celebrating late last night. And Loughmore Castellini completed the double in Tipperary.
The double.
Some going. And they won a Premier Junior the day beforehand. Like, they must be having some crack. In Tipperary, so that's class. I just want to mention this, lads. Brian Smith got in touch on Twitter. Tommy, any chance you might give us a mention? Sarsfield's GAA Newbridge. We won the junior championship tonight, and we did so in honour of our former player, Niall McDonald, who passed away tragically on New Year's Day. Niall was on our team last year, and we lost the final by just a point. We got back to Kedder this year, and we bet Carberry in the final tonight for him. So just to say, lads, yeah, and
fair play, boys.
Very tough story. Well done. So, best of luck to them, and best of luck to all the teams enjoying themselves tonight. Nice to catch up on the rules, lads. I hope you all enjoyed the episode with the Armagh boys this week, and we'll have a couple of very interesting episodes coming for you over the next little while. Last one. Very last one. Dermot McCabe has been appointed in Westmead. Cavan legend. He's brought Mark McHugh with him as a coach. Paddy, he's got a big job ahead of him in a very competitive division too, but that's a decent ticket there, right?
Yeah, surprisingly, the new Desi Donald stepped away. So, like I said, there'll be a lot of managerial merry-go-rounds over the next couple of weeks. Probably didn't see that one coming. Mark McHugh, who obviously was with the Rossies, took a step back, is back in the inter-county game. So, there's potential in Westmead. They finally got up from Division 3 into Division 2. But, like I said, that is a very, very competitive division. And there was a bit of chat around that McCabe, he's still involved with the Cavan County Board as well. There's a bit of their own interest to see what their thoughts are on that, but there'll be plenty of focus on new inter-county setups over the next month or two.
Yeah, James, Mark Dorn, who I would have spoken about 2 weeks ago, being heavily linked with the Derry job, had previously coached Clare and Wicklow with Oisín McConville and Colm Collins, is now Davy Burke's right-hand man in Roscommon, added to that coaching team. Pádraig Joyce revealed last week that he has confirmed a coach, but he didn't tell us who, and that he might be adding a second member to his backroom team. Obviously, Keane O'Neill had departed and gone to Kerry. So it'll be interesting to see who he adds to his ticket. Clare.
That's a big appointment.
That's a massive appointment. Massive appointment. Like, you know, that
they'll feel that void, I think, go away.
Yeah, they have to.
They'll have to fill it, but they'll feel it, I think, more than they'll even realise. Like, it's such an important job, that football coaching job, on top of the manager's job. You have to get the right person.
It's massive.
Be interested to see how they get on.
Derry, still no word. Clare,
yeah,
might get word this week. And Leitrim, lots of interest in the job I'm hearing, but nothing confirmed yet. So we'll wait and see what happens there. The Football Pod is brought to you every week with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the Camogie Football, Hurling and Ladies Football All-Ireland Club Championships. check out hashtag the toughest for more. Paddy Andrews, James Donoghue, thanks very much for spending your Monday evening with us. And to everybody thanks, listening Tom. At home, thanks for tuning in.
Great to see you, boys, as always.
Slán, lads, let's catch up soon. There may be a brave new world of Gaelic football to get excited about for 2025. I think we could all do with a bit of that. Could we? A bit of something to...
Yeah, a little bit of sparkle. Bring a little bit of sparkle back.
Nice one, lads. Be good.
All right, boys.